Again, welcome to each one of you. Thankful that you've chosen to be with us this evening. Thankful for God's goodness through another week. I've been meditating much and praying, and I do believe God is working. I have that confidence because this is God's world. This is God's world. Nothing takes Him by surprise. Everything He is using and orchestrating to bring about His will. And in this time of uncertainty and the trials that come with it, I am convinced God is at work. I'm certain that God's at work in the large issues of our day, at work in the world and in His kingdom, looking to advance His kingdom, to see the power of darkness push back, even though it seems so strong, so pervasive. I know God's at work to see it push back, to see souls saved. And I am confident that God's both willing and able to help us. I have that confident assurance. But I am also very confident that Satan's at work. He always works, especially in times of chaos and confusion. That's a hotbed for Satan's work oftentimes in a time of chaos and confusion. He's always been active, always working to try and push the forces of evil forward. Satan's evil. He hates God. He hates anyone associated with God. That means me and you. We need to be aware that He is out and working as well. We can have a confidence in God as well as an alertness to Satan's workings. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, the 11th verse. 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Paul here is reminding the Corinthians to not be ignorant of Satan's devices. We need reminded how Satan works, amen, in order that we not fall into his traps. We're in a spiritual battle, a war, really. We have a real enemy who's bent on destroying us. 1 Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Another translation says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. I've mentioned this many, many times, but if you knew in your yard or in your neighborhood there was a real lion walking around looking to devour somebody, you would be alert when you had to leave your home, wouldn't you? Hey, in a much more dangerous sense and just as real, we have an enemy who is constantly looking to entrap us and to cause us to be lost eternally or to damage us spiritually. We have one, actually more than one, who is against us. He has demons working with him. He's evil, but he's also wise. He studied humans since their very creation. He knows you, or at least his demons do. Now, they don't know everything. He's not like God. He don't know everything. He don't know the future. He doesn't know your heart. But he certainly knows your weaknesses and your tendencies. And we need reminded to think soberly and stay alert, stay on guard, lest we fall prey to his tricks and schemes. Now, I want this in balance. We don't have to live in fear and dread, because Jesus has overcome the power of the enemy. Luke 10 and 17 says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. 1 John 4:4, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We are secure with God's help. Amen? We need to remind you, we're no match for Satan in and of ourselves. We are no match for his wisdom, his cunning. We're no match for him in and of ourselves. And we need to be alert, because he's active. Nevertheless, we also have a security in knowing that greater is the Spirit of God within us than the power of Satan that is against us. Hold that in balance. Amen? But we do need reminded to stay alert and watchful. Ephesians 6 and 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We're reminded here that we are in a spiritual battle. You know, it's not just us and God in this Christian life. Amen? We have an enemy. We have opposition to us. In the context of the passage in Ephesians, it reminds us that we must be spiritually prepared for this battle. Verse 11 that I just read says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." The wiles of the devil. I want to talk about that a little bit. The enemy has wiles. I always think of Wile E. Coyote when I think of the wiles. But he has schemes. He has strategies. He has plans. Just as God's working a plan to bring you home to heaven, Satan also is working a plan to destroy you. Let's look at some of these wiles or his schemes and strategies. First of all, and this was really, when I started studying, this was the burden of my heart when I started studying. The devil is an accuser. The devil is an accuser. In fact, the very name Satan means accuser. Satan works in accusations. Amen? Satan works to accuse us. He works to bring up past failings to try and cast doubt on our relationship with God. He works to bring guilt to hinder our faith. He makes us doubt, did we do or didn't we do? Revelation 12:10 said, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night." This passage is telling us that Satan brought accusations to God against those whom God had justified until Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. Because Satan knew the blood of the goats, the blood of the lambs could not rightly justify people. And so he accused them of not being worthy before God. But when Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins on the cross by his death, the accuser of our brethren was cast down. That means Satan was cast down. Jesus Christ defeated the accusations of Satan on the cross. It's not by our merit or what we deserve. Amen? Our salvation is not what we deserve. Our repentance, our obedience does not merit salvation. It is a condition of salvation. It does not merit salvation. Jesus took the guilt of our sins. It isn't that God just overlooked our guilt. Jesus Christ paid the price of our sins. That price has been paid, not just set aside. Amen? He took on the guilt of our sins and paid the penalty of our sins. We're justified by his death for us. That means the price was paid. We're not just guilty and God's overlooking it. We were guilty, but the price of death was paid, and therefore we're set free. We've been forgiven. I spent some time on that a few weeks ago. God had forgiveness and the freedom it brings. Amen? We've not only been relieved of the penalty of sin, we've been relieved of the guilt of sin. Now, one of Satan's works as an accuser, Satan works to bring false guilt and doubts. Amen? Now, we have to be able, need to be able, to distinguish between genuine guilt and doubts and accusations. One of the great deceptions of Satan is to bring condemnation to us unjustly. One of the ways he does that is through temptation. Satan works to bring condemnation because we are tempted. And I've been over this a lot of times, but I still find people get tripped up in their Christian life in this area. Temptation is not sin. Jesus Christ was tempted, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Now, you may feel dirty or tarnished after wrestling with temptation. You may even be disappointed in your own sense of weakness in the face of temptation. But temptation is not sin. Therefore, there is no guilt. Temptation is an urge to do something that we know is not pleasing to God, to disobey God, right? And it's a real struggle for a Christian because there is part of you. It's not a temptation if you have no desire for it. Only things that you can be tempted with is things you have a desire for. Now, that doesn't mean you choose it. It doesn't mean you want it in the sense of a choice to have it. But it does mean there's part of you that corresponds with whatever it is to have a desire for it. Now we have the other side, that we desire to please God. And then a Christian, when we're in tune with God and we heed the Holy Spirit, He gives us the power to say no to that urge from self and yes to God. Temptation is not sin. There is not guilt in temptation. Amen? Again, temptation is an urge to do something we know is not pleasing to God. Now, Satan will accuse you in temptation. And you'll struggle with thoughts. Thoughts like a real Christian wouldn't even be tempted to do such a thing. Or, if you were saved, you wouldn't have a thought like that. You should never feel this way. There's something wrong with you. But again, Satan's an accuser. Those are accusations, not guilt. Temptation's not sin. Now, it's not something to play with. It's not something you willfully put yourself in the way of. It's not something you allow because it's the doorway to sin. Amen? But it is not sin. Satan works in accusing us, even in temptation, when we successfully withstood the temptation. Satan will try and accuse you with those thoughts that there's something wrong with you even being tempted. And that's not so, because it says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So temptation's not sin. Don't let Satan bring accusations and a false sense of guilt because of your temptations. Satan also works in doubts. Doubt is an enemy of our relationship with God. And this is the battle all of us fight. All of us fight the battle of doubt. We're all tempted to doubt. We're all tempted to doubt the truth about God. That He cares, that He loves us, that He's in control. We're all tempted to doubt our relationship with God. Amen? Satan's an accuser. Satan say, you know, there's something wrong with you. And remember, it's one of his main works as an accuser. First of all, he accuses God. Amen? Satan accuses and slanders God. It's been that way from the very beginning. Even in Genesis 3 and 4, the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the days ye eat thereof, your eyes will be opened. You'll be gods, knowing good and evil. All the way back to the first humans, Satan was accusing God of being unfair, unfaithful, untrue. And in everything that we go through, Satan will accuse God of being unfair, unfaithful, unloving, unforgiving, unwise, unjust. He'll interpret every adverse event in our life to slander God. We need to be aware. Amen? We need to be aware of the wiles of Satan, the schemes of Satan, and doubts. When these thoughts come to you, be aware of where they're coming from. This is how Satan works, in accusations against God, and accusations against you and me, to try and cause us to doubt our salvation, to convince us that we're hopeless, we can't be saved, something wrong with us, or just to bring a sense of guilt that we're not in right standing with God, therefore God won't help us, and not a clear sense of what's wrong, just the accusations and guilt. Accusations usually result in false guilt. Now, listen to me. Guilt before God is determined by our knowledge and our intent. Did we know and do what we thought was pleasing to God? Did we intend to do what was right? Amen? Because if you don't know, and it's not your intention, there is no guilt. You hear me? It isn't just the act. It is our knowledge and our intentions of our heart that determines our guilt. Now, Satan always works in murky accusations. Not really clear a lot of times. Just a sense of guilt and despair. When God's dealing with something, He points out what's wrong, why it was wrong, and how to correct it. Now, that don't mean go back and try and relive your life. I see people getting all kinds of trouble because they go back and try and relive their life. It doesn't mean that. It means regret, repentance, and coming back into right relationship with God. God corrects us. That means He brings us back into right relationship. Satan works to confuse and bring a sense of despair and guilt. Satan also tried to reinterpret the past, to rewrite your history. It's often from these accusations that doubts arise. We begin to believe the accusations and doubt our relationship with God, or doubt God Himself. Amen? To try and say, well, what was your motive? What were you thinking? Hey, if you get sober-minded and are able to know, you did the best you knew how to please God in a situation, leave it alone. The past is past. It's gone. If it's forgiven, it's forgotten by God. The guilt is gone because Jesus paid the price so you wouldn't have to. Amen? Faith is the opposite of doubt. We have to have faith. Faith is a confident assurance in God's love and our trust in God. Faith is first a choice to believe God. That's the foundation of our faith, that He is good and that He's a rewarder of those that seek Him. Choose to believe God. Choose to believe God's Word. What's God's Word tell us? Well, it tells us that He loves us. It tells us that He's faithful. It tells us that He'll keep us. It tells us that God wants me to be saved and spend eternity with Him. That God is good, God is fair, God is holy, God is merciful and kind. And that God forgives because Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. Amen? Resist the accusations of Satan. Get away from the false guilt. I'm telling you, Satan works here on Christians many, many times in false guilt. Through accusations, even through temptation. Even if you successfully withstood it, he brings accusation in the midst of it. Amen? Satan's main work is an accusation. And while we're on this subject, I'll just say I could have wrote it down and I didn't tonight. But don't become Satan's helper by becoming an accuser. We operate more in Satan's character when we become an accuser. Ain't nobody going to get away with nothing. Amen? God sees all. God knows all. Beware of your accusations against fellow believers, other believers. Amen? One challenge us tonight. I had two or three other things written down. I'm going to skip those. I'm just going to leave it. That's where a real burden of my heart was, that Satan works in accusations and bringing false guilt. Let's be aware of the wiles of Satan. Let's be aware of his schemes and how he works. We need a confidence to be able to come before the throne of God, to find our needs, to have confidence that God will help us, especially in the day and time we live in. We need that clear conscience, and Satan's going to try and make it murky, make you hesitant to come into God's presence, to discourage you in your walk with God, to make you doubt God, and to doubt your relationship with God. He's an accuser. But I'm thankful the accuser of the brethren has been cast down because of the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross. I pray God help you. Pray God help each one of us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege to be able to look into your word. I pray. I know these are old and familiar thoughts, but I pray you'll take them fresh again to those that need it. Help those that are struggling. Help those whom Satan is doing a work of accusations on to regain their confidence or trust in you, that they might live confidently, joyfully, freely in your forgiveness, in the release of guilt that you have bought for us. Help, I pray. I ask in Jesus' name and amen.